Tonight on the Worldview Weekend Hour, there's a document that's been written and is being submitted to President Trump and the U.S. Congress. And what's it calling for? Drafting America's daughters. That's right, drafting America's daughters into the military. I'll explain how it will not only destroy the U.S. military, the goal of the cultural Marxist, but this plan also calls for creating social justice warriors by brainwashing them in schools under the masking term of community service or service learning. This is something I've been warning about for years in my book that came out in 93, An Educational Abduction, and my book in 95, Reclaiming a Nation at Risk. This, my friends, is a major national security threat, and it's creating little Barack Obama community organizers. And he's the one that commissioned the commission. The Worldview Weekend Hour begins right now.
WVW-TV presents the Worldview Weekend Hour with Brannon House. Whether the topic is law, science, government, economics, history, family, social issues, education, or theology, Brannon brings the issues of today into clear focus through the lens of a biblical worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Good evening and welcome to the program. Glad you are with us, and I hope you've alerted your friends if you're watching live tonight to join us at livestream.com/WVWTV, livestream.com/WVWTV. We're live now at 8:05 Central Time, April 1st, a very special broadcast and one that really in many regards is a collection of many things that I have worked on going all the way back to my book in 1993, An Educational Abduction, and my book in 1995, Reclaiming a Nation at Risk. And what are we talking about? Drafting America's daughters and creating social justice warriors just like Barack Obama. In fact, Barack Obama and John McCain commissioned this report. They put together a committee. You're going to be stunned at who was on it. And they commissioned this report for drafting America's daughters into the U.S. military, which is a great scheme by the cultural Marxists to destroy America's military. And then they decided they would put together a national service program and turn students into little social justice warriors. But instead of it coming out of the Department of Education or the Department of Labor, where we thought many of these things would come as they have in years past, this time they did a head fake, if you will. And instead of calling it Goals 2000, America 2000, Common Core, No Child Left Behind, outcome-based education, instead of calling it those things, what they're calling it is national service or service learning. And my friends, I don't care what you call it, it's really outcome-based education. Because as you're going to see tonight, it's about effective objectives, attitudes, values, feelings, and beliefs. Here's what we would title it tonight: The Cultural Marxist Plan to Destroy the U.S. Military and Recruit Social Justice Warriors. Well, my friends, what we're talking about here is, again, kind of the things I laid out in my book in 93, An Educational Abduction, and I laid out in part in my book in 1995, Reclaiming a Nation at Risk. But I never thought it would come out of this kind of commission or with these kind of masking terms. Here is a screenshot of the Chattanooga Free Press back in March of 1996, where I spoke against programs very similar to what we're talking about tonight, where you were giving kids certificates or diplomas based on effective objectives, attitudes, values, feelings, and beliefs. And of course, the media criticized me greatly. There's a screenshot, Chattanooga Free Press back in 96, Schools Hear Critique Tonight, House to Give Christian View on Merger Plan. What I really gave was just a common sense plan. 1,000 Hear School Critic, Teachers Appalled, House Blast the Public Education Foundation, and Goals 2000. And then they went on to say that the enthusiastic approval of most of 1,000-plus crowd, Goals 2000 foe Brannon House Thursday night criticized this local public education foundation and its director. Well, that's because they are connected back to Hillary Clinton, and we're going to be a test model for the rest of the nation. But what happened when I spoke that night? The PTA leaders compared me to the Ku Klux Klan and the blacklisting of the 1950s, and then asked who will be the next terrorist who comes to town with a gun in his belt. I guess comparing me to Gaddafi or someone, I don't know. And by the weekend, they were drawing cartoons of me. And again, it was all called America 2000, and then Goals 2000, and then outcome-based education. I don't care what you call it, my friends. It's really all the same thing. It's really all the same thing. In my book, Grave Influence, this came out in 2009. I wrote it in 2008, and it came out in 2009. If you go to the chapter on William James, who we're going to discuss tonight, you will understand really what this is all about and how long I've been warning about this. But I want you to understand, I'm not the only one that is saying that outcome-based education, America 2000, Goals 2000, Common Core, No Child Left Behind, all of these education standards that really came out of the World Core curriculum tied back to the UN, I'm not the only one saying that it also hides under other names like service learning or volunteerism. In fact, Thomas Sowell, the columnist Thomas Sowell, so many of you are aware of him and respect him as I do, I quoted syndicated columnist Thomas Sowell in my book, Grave Influence, page 153. Here's what Thomas Sowell said. Professor Dewey, referring to John Dewey, the godfather of progressive education, said it all 70 years ago. The great task of the school, he said, is to counteract and transform the beliefs and values that the child brings from the home and the church. That is what the educational trends of the past two generations have been all about. Whether the specifics were called values clarification, community service, outcome-based education, or a thousand other pretty names, once you look behind those glittering labels to the specifics that are said and done, the agenda becomes clear, undermining the values and beliefs that parents have taught their children and replacing them with politically correct notions from the counter culture. Community service, he says. This is Thomas Sowell again. Community service is not about the community or about service. It is about using children for ideological agendas and using those agendas to insulate the welfare state view of the world on impressionable young minds. In other words, send them into community organizations where they see the issues and out of context, without any context, and say, why are there some have and some have not? Why are there the haves and the have-nots? As Saul Alinsky, Saul the Red Alinsky, who Barack Obama was, you know, teaching, mentored under this worldview of Saul Alinsky, who wrote his book, Rules for Radicals, dedicated it to the first rebel known to man, Lucifer, in the original publication. Why are there so many haves and have-nots as kids go into these community service programs and see people without? And what is to blame? This is the result of the free market system. This is a result of capitalism, the haves and have-nots. And so Thomas Sowell is saying community service is not about the community or about service. It's about using children for ideological agendas, using those agendas to insulate the welfare state view of the world on impressionable young minds. Most parents have no idea how much personal information is being collected from school children and fed into computer networks. This document calls for national testing known as the National Assessment of Educational Progress. This calls for mandatory, now it's done sporadically. It calls for mandatory, as you will see, it calls for mandatory testing of the National Assessment of Educational Progress known as the NAEP. This is what Thomas Sowell in part is talking about. This is a newsletter that I wrote and published in 1996. This newsletter was written, and it was all about the National Assessment of Educational Progress. That's what it was about. And I showed the screenshots, which they don't like to have the screenshots of the test back then in 96 out. They didn't want the kids to know about it. But I put it out there to show some of the questions that have very little to do with academics and details about effective objectives. Again, this was 1996. I wrote that newsletter and put that out. And Thomas Sowell, and again, this report that I'm about to share with you is calling for mandatory testing using the National Assessment of Educational Progress. Thomas Sowell, again, writing about what would include the National Assessment of Educational Progress. That most parents have no idea how much personal information is being collected from school children and fed into computer networks. These networks can integrate medical, psychological, academic, and social information from numerous sources to create an electronic dossier on each individual child. A dossier that can follow the child on through school and out into the adult world. Assurances about the confidentiality of such information are absolutely meaningless. Even when the forms filled out by children or their families have no name on them, the forms themselves have been pre-coded with identifying numbers that tell a computer whose form it is. Assurances that this information will never be given to, quote, unauthorized, end quote, individuals or organizations likewise mean nothing, because anyone they give it to will be called, quote, authorized, end quote. It is one of the signs of our dumbed-down education that we are so easily taken in by people who play with words." End quote. My book, Grave Influence, written in 2008, came out in 2009, and this is the play on words. Now, instead of calling it outcome-based education, or Bloom's taxonomy, or higher-order thinking skills, all the phrases of the years gone by, they've changed the name of the education reform to hide it from parents. William Spady, one of the promoters of outcome-based education in the late 80s and early 90s, said that. "I pleaded with the group to change the name. We have about 5 years to call it this, and then we'll have to change the name." So they're changing the name. They're playing word games and masking terms, just as Thomas Sowell said. Again, you don't have to believe what I say. I'm going to show you the screenshots. Well, here it is, my friends. Inspired to Serve. That's the report that just came out. I've been warning about this now for 2 years, thanks to my friend Udell Myers. Captain Udell Myers. He called me up over 2 years ago and said, "Brandon, I've just found out about a report to draft America's daughters, and I think you should look into it." And I had him on my radio several times. I'll have him on my radio show again tomorrow. He's a Vietnam veteran. He was shot up pretty bad in Vietnam and lost a lot of men under his command. He saw communism firsthand on America's college campuses, and then he went and fought communism in the fields of Vietnam, where many paid the ultimate price, their last full measure of devotion. Then he came back to America and watched as communism that he fought over there spread over here. And my friends, it's continuing to spread, a cultural Marxism that now is going to use the allure of patriotism and national service to convince people that this is great for America. Roger Baldwin started the American Civil Liberties Union. Roger Baldwin was a communist. But Roger Baldwin said, and I document it in a whole chapter on him in my book, Grave Influence. Roger Baldwin, founder of the American Civil Liberties Union, a communist, said, "We're going to wrap ourselves in the flag, quote the Constitution, while we do what we do." And what were they doing? Pushing the communist agenda. So why would we be shocked that many of the cultural Marxists who have no respect for the military or our country or our constitutional republic are actually quoting the Constitution in here and talking about civil engagement, how kids need to learn the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and patriotic language in here. When you realize who's doing it, you realize that's exactly the same thing that Roger Baldwin, the communist who started the American Civil Liberties Union, with the help of John Dewey, by the way. Now, again, we heard a while ago, and I quoted Thomas Sowell talking about John Dewey and community service. You're going to see tomorrow night, because it's going to take 2 one-hour sessions to get through this, and even then we're missing a lot. You'll see the screenshots where the people behind this, the organization behind this, is admitting that this whole plan is based on the work of John Dewey, a man that went to Russia in the 1930s, late 20s, early 30s, to study the Karl Marx way of education and then came back to America. John Dewey, who said the purpose of school is not to give kids letter grades, but to prepare them for their place in life, just as we heard Thomas Sowell talking about. We know that's true. I have a whole chapter in Grave Influence on John Dewey. John Dewey, Roger Baldwin, William James. William James is the thought leader of what we're talking about tonight, as we'll see. So Udell Myers calls me up over 2 years ago and says, "Hey, we better be aware of this. Obama and McCain have just established a commission that'll be authorized through 2017 legislation that's going to study drafting America's daughters." Udell Myers went to one of the meetings they held. They held them around the country to give the impression they were taking the input of the community. They came here to Memphis. The problem was they were not telling us where they were going to hold the meeting until the very last minute. We heard they were doing this in other places. Interesting enough, the people that showed up, so some of these meetings we heard were overwhelmingly supportive of the idea of drafting America's daughters and engaging in some kind of social justice community service brainwashing program. Well, of course, apparently they had all been told long in advance when and where. But the websites, when we would try to find out when and where, we had a hard time until the very last minute, which made it hard to organize our side to show up. Interesting. But Udell Myers went to one of these meetings and saw the packed house. And he and only one other man stood up to oppose what this was all about. So a dog and pony show was held to give the appearance that, hey, the community has had their input, the nation has had their input, and this is what we now are going to recommend the White House do and Congress. Well, this is why we need to tell Congress and the White House to shred this document. Here it is, inspired to serve. By the way, they make no bones about it. In reviewing the question of whether selective service registration should include women, the commission seriously considered a wide range of deeply felt moral, legal, and practical arguments and explored the available empirical evidence. Extend selective service registration to women is the headline. And they said, the commission concluded that the time is right to extend selective service system registration to include men and women between the ages of 18 and 26. This is a necessary and fair step, making it possible to draw on the talent of a unified nation in a time of national emergency. Well, my friends, what is it they really want to do? Well, in many things, but one of them is they want to make sure that they can take the traditional family, which is the incubator for passing on traditional values that maintain our constitutional republic, and make sure that they can destroy a patriarchal society. I write about this extensively in my book, Marxianity. I write about it in my book, Grave Influence, as well. But in my book, Marxianity, I write about how the Frankfurt School came to America. And their goal was to destroy a patriarchal society, to go after anyone they thought was an authoritarian personality, someone who believed in right and wrong, strong convictions. They went after those who were believed to be exhibiting toxic masculinity. This is not new. This goes all the way back to the Frankfurt School, a bunch of cultural Marxists that came here from Germany around 1933. And they openly said they must destroy the American male and the traditional family. In fact, they said, we don't want to have masculinity and femininity. We want to move away from masculinity and femininity to a general humanness. What do we have today? Fluid sexuality, right? So they must destroy the traditional family, the incubator for passing on the values of a constitutional republic. They must destroy marriage. Well, look at what I quote in my book, Grave Influence, about Margaret Mead. Quote, picking up on James' theme, that'd be William James, really kind of the father of community service, as we'll see, radical lesbian Margaret Mead viewed mandatory national service as a way to wage her war on the family, and more specifically, on marriage. As described by Doug Bandow in his article, National Service, the Enduring Panacea, quote, in 1967, for instance, anthropologist Margaret Mead argued that universal service, quote, would make it possible to assay the defects and potentialities of every young American on the threshold of adulthood, end quote. She goes on to talk about, he's quoting, the experience would have some unique impacts on women, she observed, since, quote, it would replace for girls even more than for boys marriage as the route away from the parental home, end quote. In the ideal society, she outlined, people would be homosexual when young, then switch to heterosexuality during the breeding years, and then switch back. And among the direct descendants of this notion of universal service are the Peace Corps and AmeriCorps. Well, my friends, here it is. This is the group that's involved and will be overseeing the proposals in this commission, the AmeriCorps. And look what I found in my research this week. By simply going to all their different websites and all the different little agencies that come under the National Commission, what I found, of course, was the AmeriCorps banner here, website here. Is AmeriCorps Vista right for you? Well, look at what I highlighted off to the left. Community change agent. Yep, they're gonna turn kids into change agents. And then what's it say? Thinks globally, acts locally. Or thinks global, acts local. So global awareness. And then believes in social justice. What's another word for social justice? Socialism. And then look, champions sustainable solutions. What are we talking about here? Sustainable development, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, all from the UN, which is about what? More public housing, end of your Second Amendment rights, end of private property, more public-private partnerships, which means we're going to tear up and destroy through eminent domain mom-and-pop businesses and bring in multi-international corporations and then redevelop a whole community. And everybody thinks, wow, that's the free market system. Look, it's tearing up the old and bringing in the new and all these nice high-rises and coffee shops and eateries. No, it's not, because they went in there and they moved out the mom-and-pop laundromat and restaurants, and what you have is a bunch of multinational corporations working in concert with local, state, and federal government to bring in these new areas of enterprise, supposedly. A planned economy, the public-private partnership. I deal with this, by the way, extensively in my documentary that came out in December of 2019, Siege, the Clear and Present Dangers Pushing America to the Brink of a Marxist-Islamic Revolution, Civil War, World War II, and Globalism. And under the Globalism section, I interviewed Tom DeWeese. And we talked about, as he's been fighting this for 30 years, we talked about what I'm explaining to you right now. So this whole idea of sustainable development, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. So this is real. And if you don't know about it, then maybe you should get my documentary Siege at siegethemovie.com, siegethemovie.com. You can watch 1 hour for free. But this is what they're going to do. They're going to create change agents. And they want you to think about global issues and act local and then believe in social justice and then sustainable solutions, which is sustainable development. Here's the headline from the Center for Military Readiness. This is a good little organization that's been doing some great work. But notice the date this was published, December 2016. McCain establishes National Commission likely to promote his goals, draft America's daughters, registration, and mandatory military national or public service. So this is where it came from, folks. Now, what this is really all about right here, folks, this is about, in part, accomplishing what Barack Obama did during his 8 years. He went into office as president knowing what he wanted to do. In fact, as I document in my book, Grave Influence, under the chapter on William James, I quote the Barack Obama Biden, the Obama-Biden website from 2008. Look at your screen. The GIVE Act passed into law as a voluntary program. The GIVE Act is later renamed to honor Ted Kennedy. But it's about using federal funds to set up all these different agencies for national service. Again, brainwashing, outcome-based education, values clarification, all under the term now of community service, just as Thomas Sowell was warning about. But the GIVE Act passed. However, Obama's intentions were made clear before he was even elected as president of the United States. In 2008, the Obama-Biden campaign website declared, quote, Obama will call on citizens of all ages to serve America by developing a plan to require 50 hours of community service in middle school and high school and 100 hours of community service in college every year, end quote. The GIVE Act, by the way, and as you can better believe, we better be watching the legislation that's going to come out of this. See, this is just simply a proposal, a report, recommendations by a commission. This commission, and I'm about to tell you the people involved in it, includes a transgender person, includes people who have been part of some of the organizations Michelle and Barack Obama were involved in, training Saul Alinsky community organizers. So you kind of know where they're going, right? Well, the report now goes to the White House and to Congress. From there, legislation has to be written. Well, we've been here before, because back in 2009, when the GIVE Act that helped to create some of the structure for this was written, which started passing out money for community service programs to take these young people and push them into social service work as Saul Alinsky-style Barack and Michelle Obama social service community organizers, the bill made it very clear that you could not be a recipient of some of these funds or be a part of that kind of program and also be involved in your church. Young people could not be involved, say, in the worship team at their church. You don't believe me? Listen, here's what it said. You can look it up yourself. Quote, they cannot engage in religious instruction, conducting worship services, providing instruction as part of a program that includes mandatory religious instruction or worship, constructing or operating facilities devoted to religious instruction or worship, maintaining facilities primarily or inherently devoted to religious instruction or worship, or engage in any form of religious proselytization, end quote. Now, if you don't believe me, go look it up. This is in the GIVE Act. Now, back then, and by the way, I gave a whole presentation on this back in 2009. I gave a 2 1-hour presentation on this in 2009 in front of 2,300 people at our Ozarks Worldview Weekend. So we've been warning about this for a long time, and now they're going to add the next phase of it, and now they're going to wrap it in the Constitution and civics education and patriotism and service, but that's all a head fake, just as communist Roger Baldwin, founder of the ACLU, said they would do. We'll quote the founding fathers and wrap ourselves in the flag as they promote their anti-American agenda. Well, I have to ask you this. Why on earth would you want to put kids through some kind of training or program, but say, oh, by the way, you can't be involved in your worship team at your church or in church activities or anything that involves proselytization? Well, if you know anything about changing someone's worldview, brainwashing, whatever you want to call it, you must make sure you isolate them. Move them away from any idea, philosophy, values, or worldview that is contrary to what they're being taught. That should be a real red flag that you can't go through this program and get money and be involved in work at your local church. Well, here's a screenshot of Michelle Obama. Maybe you can't see it due to the lighting, but what she said was, one of the happiest times of my life was founding the Chicago branch of Public Allies, which develops young leaders. And we actually have our own video saying it. Well, my friends, in 1992, Mr. Obama and Mrs. Obama, they were worked on this together. Mr. Obama was a founding board member of Public Allies, and Michelle Obama became executive director of the Chicago chapter of Public Allies in 1993. Public Allies was nothing more than an organization that seeks to turn America's youth into community organizers that follow the worldview of Saul Alinsky. Okay, that's all it was. Just an opportunity to do, suppose, community service to create little Saul Alinsky social justice warriors, pretty much in the model of Michelle and Barack Obama. Investor's Business Daily, 2008. The headline, Michelle's Boot Camp for Radicals. Here's what the article said. Big Brother had nothing on the Obamas. They plan to herd American youth into government-funded re-education camps where they'll be brainwashed into thinking America is a racist, oppressive place in need of social change. But it's Public Allies' real mission is to radicalize American youth and use them to bring about social change through threats, pressure, tension, and confrontation. The tactics used by the father of community organizing, Saul the Red Alinsky. Our alumni are more than twice as likely as 18 to 34-year-olds to engage in protest activities, Public Allies boast in a document found with its tax filing. It has already deployed an army of 2,200 community organizers like Obama to agitate for justice and equality in his hometown of Chicago and other U.S. cities, including Cincinnati, Los Angeles, Milwaukee, New York, Phoenix, Pittsburgh, and Washington. I get the chance to practice being an activist and get paid for it, gushed Cincinnati recruit Amy Vincent. When they're not protesting, they're staffing AIDS clinics, handing out condoms, bailing criminals out of jail, and helping illegal aliens and the homeless obtain food stamps and other welfare. Well, by the way, why would they want to do that? That's part of the Cloward Piven strategy. Swell the welfare rolls, collapse them. Get as many people as you can on there so you can swell the welfare rolls, collapse them, and then you can start nationalizing things. Because now you've created a huge national crisis. Well, the Investor's Business Daily 2008 went on to say, Public Allies brags that more than 80% of graduates have continued working in nonprofit or government jobs. It's training the next generation of nonprofit leaders, future social entrepreneurs. It was too touchy-feely, said Nellie Nibbles, 29, of the 2005 Los Angeles class. Quote, it's a lot of talk about race, a lot of talk about sexism, a lot of talk about homophobia, talk about isms and phobias, end quote. Obama wants to fully fund it and expand it into a national program that some see costing $500 billion. We've got, quote, we've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well funded, end quote, as the military, he said. Investor's Business Daily concludes, the gall of it. The Obamas want to create a boot camp for radicals who hate the military and stick American taxpayers with the bill, end quote. Well, you say, wait a minute, Brandon, but Obama's not the president anymore. That's right. But on his way out the door, he commissioned this report with John McCain, with traitor, in my opinion, John McCain. Yep. And now here it is. It just came out last week. It's going to the White House and to Congress to try to do exactly what I just said to you about Public Allies. Public Allies, folks, is really the model. What I just read to you is really the model what they want to do around the country. But it also includes things like drafting America's daughters. There's a lot in this, but we have a chance to stop it. We have a chance to make sure that President Trump, Mike Pence, members of Congress, House and Senate, know the American people do not want a cultural Marxist plan that will destroy the American military by creating great confusion and a force that is not ready, as we'll see, but also funding the dreams of Barack Obama and their cultural Marxist friends by using masking terms and appealing to people's patriotism or the Constitution or civil rights or civil duty, national service, volunteerism, whatever you want to call it, to promote turning America's students into social justice warriors. Look at this from Biz Women. Vanessa Kirsch's venture capital mindset is changing philanthropy. Kirsch started New Profit after having spent many years herself in the nonprofit sector. She began campaigning for presidential candidate Michael Dukakis in 1988, right after graduating from Tufts University. And in 1991, listen there, in 1991, she started Public Allies, the group we've been talking about, a youth service program based in Washington, D.C., that once employed a young Michelle Obama in Chicago. Wait a minute. This lady helped start Public Allies. She hired Michelle Obama in Chicago. Wow. Interesting. Well, wait a minute. Looky there. There's her husband. He was on the commission to help write this. Did you hear that, folks? Look what it says. He's married to Vanessa Kirsch, also a special entrepreneur who co-founded Public Allies. He helped write the document I'm holding right here that came out last week, which is recommending to Congress to put all this social justice program into place and federally fund it to brainwash America's children and turn them into little Saul Alinsky disciples. Huh. Well, here is again the article, or the right from the document on my desk. Taken together, our recommendations offer a revolutionary, yeah, it's definitely seeking a revolution, an inclusive approach to service for Americans, beginning with comprehensive civic education and service learning. Get used to that term, folks, service learning. Instead of saying outcome-based education, values clarification, common core, whatever you want, they're going to now say service learning. It's the same thing. It's very effective objectives, attitudes, values, feelings, and beliefs. And they're going to start it in kindergarten. Service year opportunities. So what? It becomes a rite of passage. It becomes a rite of passage for millions of young adults and new and revitalized service options for adults of any age, background, or experience. We envision a common expectation of service among the American people so that no one is surprised by the questions. No one is surprised by the questions. Have you served, or how will you serve? Oh, so how did you serve? I wonder if you'll be able to serve at your local church. Well, apparently not, because the way the legislation was written in 2009 with the Give Act, which was then renamed after Ted Kennedy, you couldn't even be on the worship team at your church. So I venture to guess you probably couldn't, volunteer at a conservative think tank or a pro-life organization or maybe for a Tea Party group or any kind of conservative organization. I wonder if you could do your community service here post-editing television. Probably not, because it actually says it has to be appropriate groups, certified nonprofits, appropriate faith-based groups. Oh yeah, you can be involved with the faith-based groups, but it has to be appropriate and has to be certified nonprofits, the ones they approve of. Well, the document on my desk here goes on to say that all state civic education graduation requirements to homeschool students. This is the headline. Look at B. To receive a high school diploma, all homeschooled pupils shall be required to pass an assessment in civic education as described in Section 4C and shall complete a student-led applied civics project as described in Section 5B. So if you think you're going to be immune to this, homeschoolers, wrong-o. If the folks on Capitol Hill follow the recommendations of the commission, no, you will not be exempt. The commission goes on to say, the commission has defined service as a personal commitment of time, energy, and talent to a mission that contributes to the public good by protecting the nation and its citizens, strengthening communities, or promoting the general social welfare. So right off the bat, what we're talking about here is social programs, social welfare. This is all going to be very much social services, effective objectives, attitudes, values, feelings, and beliefs, public good. Who defines that? In the report, they go on to define what national service is. National service means civilian participation in any non-government capacity, including with private, for-profit organizations and nonprofit organizations, including with appropriate faith-based organizations. I don't think WVW Broadcast Network would be an appropriate one, do you? Probably not. So it has to be appropriate faith-based organizations that pursues and enhances the common good. By the way, the word common good is used in this document over and over. In my book, Marxianity, I warn about that phrase, common good. They don't want to say social justice. I could not find the word social justice one time in this document, but they use the term common good 8 times. Common good is just another way of saying social justice, collectivism, the common good. They use the term spirit of service 10 times. Community organizations, as in like a community organizer and community organizations, 6 times. So again, this is all about the common good. So they define service learning as this. It's an instructional approach that integrates classroom teaching, and reflection with community service projects. Service learning techniques may be applied in virtually any class, including science and mathematics. Yeah, of course, because they're all doing social justice. Even in the math today, they do social justice. And provide students with meaningful experiences by exposing them to the values of service. Wait a minute, so it's going to be about values. But whose values? What is considered of worthy service? Would it be of worthy service to work at a pro-life clinic? Of worthy service to volunteer at a conservative think tank? No, probably not. By exposing them to values of service, such as commitment, contribution to community, and collaboration. Whoa, collaboration. What are we collaborating on? What are we all going to collaborate and agree on here? Well, obviously on some kind of value and what is the common good and what are the acceptable values of the community. Isn't all this pretty subjective versus 2 + 2 = 4, you know, knowing your state capitals, knowing about the Constitution? A lot of this seems very effective objectives. Well, that's the idea. Here's what is called a certificate of mastery, okay? Here is what I traveled with, this very certificate of mastery, all over the country for years and years. It's from 1994. I've had this since 1994. The student, his mother, is the one that gave it to me. And I'll show you on the screen here. This was one of the first ones given out in America. I write about it in my book in 1995. And I write about it in my book, Grave Influence. And what you see here was given out in Cottage Grove, Oregon. And to get a certificate of mastery, the student had to show that he mastered certain things. Well, maybe you can't see them, so let me blow it up. You had to prove that you're an involved citizen, a quality producer, a self-directed learner, a constructive thinker, an effective communicator. Whoa, look at that. A collaborative contributor. You're part of the group and you collaborate. You can't be an individual. You can't think about what are your individual convictions. You got to surrender individual convictions to be a collaborator. Group consensus. You got to be able to quantify, apply math and science, understand diversity, deliberate on public issues, interpret human experience, understand positive health habits. Huh. I can only imagine what that is, contraceptives and whatnot. So when they say that service learning includes collaboration and values of service, you better be, and exposing them to the values of service, you better understand who's going to decide what those values are and what they're going to be collaborating on. Well, it goes on to say, nevertheless, every student in the United States, regardless of their location, should graduate from high school with the knowledge, skills, and dispositions needed to thoughtfully and responsibly engage in their community and nation. Wait a minute. Skills and dispositions? Wait a minute. Isn't that subjective? Maybe we need to define some terms because words have meaning, do they not? Well, let's go over to dictionary.com and see what disposition means. Oh, it has to do with natural mental and emotional outlook or mood, characteristic attitude. Oh, so we're back to attitudes, values, feelings, and beliefs and emotions. Huh. And what is this document saying they're going to do? Yeah, it is going to, well, expose them to these things. They should graduate from high school with the knowledge, skills, and dispositions needed to thoughtfully and responsibly engage in their community and nation. Interesting. Well, the commission goes on to say, establish new models for national service, awarding national service fellowships to support individuals participating in a service year at any certified nonprofit organization will significantly expand the universe of opportunities for national service. So again, I ask, well, who gets certified? How do you get certified? And look at this. It is the foundational premise of this commission that building on America's spirit of service in order to nurture, promote, and expand a culture of service is vital to securing the nation's future. Wow, spirit of service. And I thought to myself, where have I heard that before? Spirit of service. By the way, the document uses spirit of service 10 times. 10 times spirit of service. Well, I knew I'd heard of that before. In fact, I knew I'd talked about spirit of service recently in the last couple weeks in a broadcast. And sure enough, I found out where I talked about it. The book from H.G. Wells, New Worlds for Old. Wells argues for replacing a social system based on private ownership with a system based on the spirit of service. Wells calls for a disconnected service of protest against the extreme theories of individualism and individualist political economy. Oh, so we have to have a spirit of service that's against private ownership. It's not about the individual. It's about the collective. It's about the collaborative. Well, wait a minute. H.G. Wells. Here's the Fabian window. I've showed you guys so many times. Don't have time to talk about it tonight. You can go on our website at wvwtv.com and find a show from a week or two ago on which I deal with the Fabian window big time. But this was created by George Bernard Shaw in 1910, the Fabian socialist George Bernard Shaw. And look at the bottom of the window, those people down there praying to Fabian books and essays. Well, there right there is H.G. Wells holding his own book, New Worlds for Old. That's where he talks about this idea of a spirit of service. Well, there it is, New Worlds for Old. And he says our social system based on private ownership encourages and glorifies this spirit of gain and cripples and thwarts the spirit of service. Folks, you think they know what they're doing when the Obama types, the Saul Alinsky types, the cultural Marxist who wrote this report, when they use a spirit of service, you think they know what they're doing? Of course they know what they're doing. What did H.G. Wells go on to say? But suppose after all that I'm wrong in my estimate in this matter and that war will still be possible in a socialist or partly socialist world. Suppose that the socialist state in which I'm imagining you to live is threatened by some military power. Then I don't think the military power that threatens it need threaten very long. Because consider, here will be a state organized for collective action as never a state has been organized before. A state in which every man and woman will be a willing and conscious citizen saturated with the spirit of service, in which scientific research will be at a maximum of vigor and efficiency. What individualist and autocratic militarism will stand a chance against it? It goes quite without saying from the essential principles of socialism that if war is necessary, then every citizen will, as a matter of course, take his part in that war. It is mere want of intellectual grasp that has made a few working class socialists in England and France oppose military service. Wait a minute. He's saying, I don't understand why these folks in England and France, these socialists, of which he is one, and wanting to create a socialist state, I don't know why they're opposed to the military service. Because the military service can actually be used to our advantage. And that's exactly what William James had to say. But look at what H.G. Wells finishes saying. Universal military service, given the need for it, is innate in the socialist idea, just as it is blanketly antagonistic to the private individuals. Ideas of 18th century liberalism, it is innate in the socialist idea, but equally innate in that is the conception of establishing and maintaining forever a universal peace, end quote. What's he saying? Hey, we can use the military structure. And once we create a socialist state, and we do away with individualism and private property and have collectivism and collaboration and community service and the spirit of service, well, if we're ever attacked, well, everybody will be ready to go because we've trained them. But here's the thing. We can use that individuality that is knocked out of people because the military and a military structure doesn't think about individual rights or individual property. By its very nature, a military denies yourself and as a collective group accomplishes a goal. That's how a military works. And so, as William James said, really the father of this idea, William James said, we should be owned as the state owns the soldier. And this is, in fact, who H.G. Wells, William James loves to quote H.G. Wells. They're all running together. So back to this document, spirit of service. Service within and across community breaks down cultural barriers, builds respect, and strengthens collaboration. There's that word again. Understanding and dialogue. Oh, wait a minute. What are we collaborating about? What are we having a dialogue about? I thought this was just simply about educating kids, reading, writing, arithmetic, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, as they again try to wrap it all in that to convince Americans this is a good thing. I don't know that we have a whole lot to debate and collaborate and dialogue about if we're teaching academics. But if we're teaching effective objectives, values, dispositions. Well, now we're back to exactly what Thomas Sowell warned about. Whether you call it outcome-based education or community service, it's the same thing. Well, here is William James. I write about him a whole chapter in my book, Grave Influence. And he said in his little paper, he wrote a little paper called The Moral Equivalent of War. That was the name of the essay. that laid the groundwork for the insidious concept of organized national service. Here's what he said. We must make new energies and hardihoods continue the manliness to which the military mind so faithfully clings. Martial virtues must be the ending cement. Intrepidity, contempt of softness, surrender of private interest. No individual here, folks. We're talking collectivism. Surrender of private interest. Obedience to command. Who's giving the commands? The almighty state. Obedience to command must still remain the rock upon which states are built. If now, and this is my idea, there were, instead of military conscription, a conscription of the whole youthful population to form for a certain number of years a part of the army enlisted against nature. Now, what is against nature that he's wanting to do? The dog-eat-dog world. He wants to enlist against nature the free market, private ownership, individualistic, free nature of dog-eat-dog kind of world, right? That's what he's talking about here when he says against nature. He goes on to say, to dishwashing, clothes washing, window washing, to road building and tunnel making, to foundries and stoke holes, and to the frames of skyscrapers, would our gilded youths be drafted off according to their choice to get the childishness knocked out of them and to come back into society with healthier sympathies and sobrier ideas. We should be owned as soldiers are owned. We should be owned as soldiers are, he says, by the army. Our pride would rise accordingly. We could be poor then without humiliation as army officers now are. So it wouldn't matter what your economic status is because everybody's going to be the same. You get filed in, you sleep in the same kind of barracks and bunks, eat the same food, do the same work. It won't really matter if you're poor because there's no individuality here. We're all the same. We're all owned by the state as a soldier is owned by the army. The only thing needed henceforward is to inflame the civic temper. Whoa, wait a minute. Inflame the civic temper. What are they doing in this document? It's all about civic education, civic education, civic education. Folks, this is amazing, isn't it? The only thing needed henceforward is to inflame the civic temper as past history has inflamed the military temper. H.G. Wells, as usual, sees the center of the situation. Quote, in many ways, end quote, he says, quote, military organization is the most peaceful of activities. When the contemporary man steps from the street of clamorous, insincere advertisement, push, adulteration, underselling, and intermediate employment into the barrack yard, he steps onto a higher social plane. In other words, when he steps out of the world, the free market, capitalist, individualistic, rugged individualism, and he steps into the barrack yard where he's owned by the state in this inscripted service of social justice, he then steps onto a higher social plane, into an atmosphere of service and cooperation and of infinitely more honorable ameliorations. Here, at least men are not flung out of employment to degenerate because there's no immediate work for them to do. They are fed for better services. Here, at least, a man is supposed to win promotion by self-forgetfulness and not by self-seeking. In other words, implying that people that get ahead in the world today, free market people, you're selfish. That's how you get ahead. But when you're owned by the state, when you're owned in this social program of the barrack yard as a social justice warrior in training, you don't have to worry about all that. You're on a higher plane. This is William James. He's the father of this idea. And many a president have quoted him as they have advanced from Jimmy Carter to Bill Clinton to Obama. George W. even helped. George H. They've all helped advance this, by the way. Here's the appendix about the commissioners. You want to see who helped write this? Well, we already know that this guy here, Alan Kazi, helped write it. He is the co-founder and former CEO of City Year. City Year served as the model for President Clinton's AmeriCorps program. Huh. And we already know he's married to the lady that helped co-found Public Allies that Michelle Obama worked for. Well, here's a guy. He's vice chair for National and Public Service. He was the White House director in communications and deputy chief of staff. I think it was for Bill Clinton. Chair of the Corporation for National and Community Service. Well, there you go. We already know what he wants. He's been chair of the Corporation for National and Community Service, which includes AmeriCorps. This is what you call a stacked deck. This is a tainted jury. And board member for Points of Light. And, oh, wait a minute. And Jesuit Volunteer Corps. Huh. He's worked with Jesuit Volunteer Corps. Now, where on earth have we learned about the Jesuits? Oh, I know. From former Jesuit Malachi Martin. Former Jesuit Malachi Martin, who wrote many New York Times bestsellers. And as we've seen in our past programs the last few weeks, those of you who are alumni, And if you haven't watched them, you can go watch them at WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. What have we learned from Malachi Martin, the former Jesuit? He left being a Jesuit after the Vatican implemented the Vatican Council II because he said it became way too ecumenical. They turned their back on traditional Catholicism and in marched the Jesuits with their Marxism. And he said they're going to destroy the Catholic Church and they're preparing for the day they will have a Marxist Pope. Now, folks, he wrote this years ago, but what he's predicting is virtually Pope Francis, the Marxist Jesuit Pope, the first ever Jesuit Pope. And Malachi Martin, a former Jesuit who moved to New York and got out of being really a Jesuit because he couldn't stand the Marxism and the global push for global governance that they were pushing. Again, this is what he writes in his own books. I show the screenshots in previous shows. Our alumni know this. This is what the Jesuits are all about. In fact, it's the Jesuits that coined the phrase social justice. That term was coined by Luigi Tappanelli, a Jesuit, in 1840, 8 years ahead of Karl Marx in the Communist Manifesto. So the Jesuits have had many thought leaders like Francis Carney. Francis Carney, a Jesuit who in the 70s went down to Nicaragua to fight with the communists down there and died. And he declared that you cannot be a true Christian without being a communist, a Marxist. Again, provide all the documentation and few TV shows the last few weeks. So isn't it interesting? He's part of the Jesuit Volunteer Corps. Huh. Who else is involved? Well, this lady's involved. Dr. Janine Davidson. She was a senior fellow for defense policy at the Council on Foreign Relations. Oh, wait, where she's a lifetime member. Oh, you mean the Council on Foreign Relations that wants world government and all kinds of other craziness? Yep. Oh, well, who's this? Well, this is Miss Shane Skelly, or Sean Skelly. Miss Skelly served in the Obama administration as the director of the Office of Executive Secretariat and the U.S. Department of Transportation. Miss Skelly served on active duty in the U.S. Navy for 20 years as a naval flight officer, retiring with the rank of commander prior to joining the Obama administration in 2013. In 2017, President Obama appointed Sean to serve as a commissioner on the newly established National Commission on Military and Public Service. Well, that's interesting because I go over to this website and I found out, oh, wait a minute, she helped to found Out in National Security. Out in National Security, speaks fearlessly in defense of the LGBTQIA plus rights, connects like-minded national security practitioners, and advances Americans' interests. Wait a minute. This is for people in the national security that are LGBTQ. That used to keep you out of the national security. It used to be a national security threat. But guess what? When we go and read her bio there, it says that what? Look at the bottom. Sean was recognized as one of a group of transgender veterans in the 2017 Out 100. Folks, Sean used to be a dude, apparently, is a transgender. Isn't that what it says? Transgender veterans. This is who sits on the committee. No, this is all about academics. There wouldn't be any political shenanigans, political correctness, cultural Marxism going on here, would it? So we see that they want to expand selective service. In closing tonight, why is this a problem? Not only are we going to turn them into little social justice Barack and Michelle Obama community organizers in the reflection of Saul Alinsky, we're going to draft America's daughters and destroy the military as the cultural Marxists hate the military. It'll help destroy them away from the route of family and home, as we heard from Margaret Mead already. But look, Center for Military Readiness, new Army combat fitness tests. 84% of women fail this. So we're going to start drafting women and putting women who don't even want to into the military. Well, we already got a volunteer army, and even the women that are in there can't keep up, many of them. So you think this is going to be good for the military? Among other things, Marine proxy tests with hundreds of volunteers confirmed significant physical differences in weightlifting exercises simulating heavy armor or artillery rounds. Most men could lift progressively heavy barbells above their heads, but 92% of female participants could not accomplish the clean and press with 115-pound weight. Injury rates for enlisted women in infantry training were 2 to 6 times higher than for men. And the Marines Tough Infantry Officer course at Quantico, Virginia, only 2 out of more than 30 female officers passed after adjustments were made in scoring requirements. 30 Army women reportedly have made it through Ranger School at Fort Benning, Georgia, since 2015. But it is not clear whether any have qualified for the elite 75th Range Regiment. Thanks to a new book titled Stand Down, subtitled How Social Justice Warriors Are Sabotaging America's Military, now we know that the first 2 women to graduate from Ranger School received special treatment and concessions to ensure their highly publicized success. Author James Hansen, a Ranger-trained Iraq veteran, interviewed confidential firsthand sources who revealed that the female trainees were forgiven major errors that would have caused men to be dropped from the course. Contemporaneous records published in Hansen's book, Stand Down, show that one of the women received a passing grade even though she had lost track of one of her soldiers while on patrol, forcing officials to terminate the entire mission. For 9 months in 2014 and 2015, Marines hired experts from the University of Pittsburgh to monitor definitive field exercises, simulated ground combat infantry, armor, and artillery tasks. The unprecedented task took place at a rugged West Coast base with several hundred average male Marines and highly qualified women who had already been through enlisted infantry training. Instead of proving gender equality, the scientific field test showed that all male units outperformed the gender mixed teams 69% of the time. This was one of the major findings that caused then Commander General Joseph Dunford to exercise his option to ask the infantry and some special operations forces remain all male. But facts and empirical data did not matter to Navy Secretary Ray Mabuse and Defense Secretary Carter. Both officials dismissively rejected General Dunford's memorandum requesting exemptions, key parts of which are still being withheld from public view. And the article goes on to say, for decades, social justice warriors and high-level Pentagon officials promised that closer combat assignments for women would increase respect for women and reduce sexual assaults. Military women are respected more than ever, but according to official Defense Department reports, rates of sexual assault and misconduct have gotten progressively worse. The Center for Military Readiness recently analyzed over 10 years of annual reports produced by the Pentagon's Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Office. These voluminous reports show that sexual assault cases have increased by 146% since 2007. In 2018, there were over 6,000 completed service member assault cases, not estimates based on surveys. A 15% increase only in 1 year. The Pentagon's failure to stop or reduce these crimes is a disgrace. And my friends, what we're saying here is you start drafting America's daughters, you're putting in a position to be sexually assaulted. You're putting in harm's way. You're undermining our military because many of the men, because they have mothers, that's how they got here. Many of them have sisters. Many of them have a wife. They will innately step in to pull in the slack to protect that woman as they naturally would want to do and should do if they're a red-blooded American male with respect for women. That, by its very nature, undermines our military readiness and preparedness. And the cultural Marxists have turned America's military into a social experiment to destroy the U.S. military. So this whole thing is a cultural Marxist document from beginning to end. Now, tomorrow night, we'll look at the National Assessment of Educational Progress. We'll look at the fact they admit it's largely based on the worldview of John Dewey and what John Dewey wanted. We'll look at the fact that they're now calling on major corporations in America to give preferential treatment and hiring to those who go through these brainwashing schools dubbed service learning, community service learning. Folks, this is very dangerous. But the good news is we have the chance to alert President Trump and our members of Congress not to take the recommendations of this band of cultural Marxists, as I believe I've described tonight. Now, my friends, I don't know of anyone else that has taken the years to study this, much less the last week to go through this and present it to you today. And if you appreciate the way we labor to do this and bring you screenshots and documentation so you know this is not my opinion, these are the facts. The only way this think tank and broadcast network, because that's really what we are, we're a think tank that does research and analysis as a public service for you. We're a broadcast network. We're a worldview organization. We're a national security organization bringing you, the people, a government of the people, by the people, for the people, the information on critical national security issues. This one here all involves family, national security, military, capitalism, free market, individuality. This is all encompassed. And if you appreciate what we do, I must tell you, we need to hear from you right now. Through the threat of this coronavirus, we've been broadcasting way more shows than normal. And if you appreciate what we're doing, you can support us in one of two ways. You can make a tax-deductible contribution at WVWFoundation.com, WVWFoundation.com. You'll find our mailing address there. The other way that you can support us is by joining our VIP club, where we've archived over 1,600 TV shows just like this, audiobooks, ebooks, transcripts. All my books are ebooks, Grave Influence, Religious Trojan Horse, Marxianity. They're all ebooks under the library tab. If you join at the 1 year, 2 year, or 3 year rate, I'll send you my 6 hour docu movie, Sabotage, for free. I'll also send you my book, Marxianity, for free, as our way of saying thank you for supporting what we're doing. You're going to get a lot of great information but you're also supporting us. It's a win-win for everyone. You can join at wvwtv.com/subscription. wvwtv.com/subscription. And I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. Take care.